Hello and welcome. It is Monday, and this is Eric Erickson. It just so happens to be my show. Delighted to have you with me. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I have a question. I have a very important, monumental question as we begin the day today. Can someone put their finger on it? When did people get stupid? Just generally. I realize people are generally stupid. But when did people just lose their minds in an era of epic stupidity? You know how everything the left doesn't like is racism? It's racist if you live in a nice neighborhood and there aren't enough people of other ethnicities or races there. It's racism, de facto racism. If you send your kids to private school, it's racism. The Second Amendment is racist. Everything they don't like is racist. They've cheapened the word racism by saying things are racist that are not racist. And now conservatives are doing it with segregation. And it's driving me crazy. There's a restaurant in Atlanta, Georgia. Marjorie Taylor Greene, the QAnon congresswoman, is shaming the restaurant. I think it's called Argosy or something like that. It's in Hipsterville, Atlanta. And they put up a sign outside saying, please don't eat here if you're not vaccinated or only vaccinated people or some such. Now, it comes after several of their staff members got COVID and they had to shut down. My understanding is they believe that it was patrons at the business who caused it, not the employees getting it, but maybe it was the employees unvaccinated. I have no idea. But nonetheless, the restaurant now says, don't eat here if you're not vaccinated. And you got a bunch of conservatives saying, this is segregation. No, it's not segregation, you idiots. It's not segregation. Segregation involves immutable characteristics given to you by God. Segregation is God made you male. You got to sit over here. God made you female. Sit over there. God made you black. Sit in the back. Segregation is not, hey, you say you got the vaccine and you didn't. I don't know because I don't have police power to enforce this. Segregation was based on police powers of the state that businesses used. It is possible. It is actually possible to say, hey, I think that a business should have the right to say this, but the government shouldn't have the power to enforce it. It's possible. You know, there are plenty of other restaurants. In fact, I Googled around this particular restaurant. There are other restaurants people can go to. Quel horreur! You know, if your alternative is the business should be forced to allow me in and should have no say, then you're on Team Bake the Cake Bigot. Do you want to be on Team Bake the Cake Bigot? Do you want to force the Christian baker to bake the cake? Do you want to force the Christian baker to bake the cake? Do you want to force the Christian photographer to be forced against their will at the risk of losing their business to show up and photograph the gay marriage that they don't want to photograph because they believe it violates their deeply held religious beliefs? Do you want them to do that? Are you saying, no, I don't. Well, then you got to let the business decide that we don't want people here who haven't been vaccinated because it risks our livelihoods by having them come in and spread the virus to other people. And word of mouth goes out that, hey, I ate at this restaurant and I got COVID from it. When did people become such self-centered idiots? I didn't actually intend to start the program here, but I noted on social media that the restaurant should be entitled to say, hey, if you don't have the vaccine, we don't want you to come eat here. And a bunch of conservatives said, this is segregation. No, it's not segregation, you idiots. Segregation is a word that actually means something. You are no better than the leftists screaming racism about everything if you actually believe that. When did people become so stupid and not very thoughtful? You can go elsewhere. You can go elsewhere. And by the way, there's a great big difference between a million bajillion restaurants you can go to and three social media platforms. So don't give me that. It's just like big tech. Do you think big tech should be able to discriminate against us? There's a big difference. You can distinguish a nuance. But if all you got is a hammer, everything's a nail. This is people's world. And by the way, it's not conservatism. It is populist reactionaryism. It's not conservatism actually tends to mean the individual should be able to pick and choose for himself and also deal with the consequences of that choice. You know, you don't get to make choices in life and then escape consequences. If I take my paycheck tomorrow and go to Las Vegas and lose it at the casino, I don't get to demand my money back to pay the rest of my bills. It's a consequence of my choice. I have the right to go do it. And then if I lose my money, I have to take the consequences. If I decide I believe the crazy conspiracy cranks online about the vaccine and don't want it, well, then the business has the right to say, hey, we would prefer you not eat here. I don't know how this is hard. It's only hard because you want it to be hard. You want it to be difficult. It's not actually difficult. It's actually very easy. Live and let live. And your business, you get to decide. If, you know, it's really weird here when the abortionists are screaming, my body, my choice. And now the conservatives are screaming, my body, my choice. But the business owner doesn't get to scream, my business, my choice. The businesses, which are composed of individuals, aren't supposed to. And by the way, I should point out that the major difference is that with the abortionists, it's not really their body they're talking about. They're actually talking about the third party in the relationship who has no voice that they just want to kill. Everybody else, it should be your body, your choice, your business, your choice. And the government should stay out of it. I am against the government imposing mandates for vaccines. I don't think they should. But you got to live with the consequences. There's something else I'm opposed to. It's the shaming that the media is doing in how they're covering the people who didn't get the vaccine who are now dying. I think the media in their head, I'm trying to guess what a malevolent group thinks in their head, which is never a good idea. And I do think increasingly much of the media is malevolent when it comes to these topics. But I do suspect that their thinking is that, hey, if we highlight the stories of the vaccine skeptics who are now dying of COVID, maybe that may give some self-reflection of people who are vaccine skeptics that maybe they need to go get the virus. But actually, what's happening is it's just inviting delight and ridicule of the forces of Mordor against the people who aren't getting the vaccine. The level of shaming and ridicule and contempt by progressives on those who didn't get the vaccine and are now dying or dead is appalling. There is a study out again over the weekend, yet another study showing that progressives are less likely to have friends who are conservative than conservatives are progressives. Conservatives more often than not have progressive friends than progressives have conservative friends. And progressives online reacting to a reporter who said, I can't imagine not having friends with people I disagree with politically. Progressives are piling on the reporter for saying that, saying, well, you can't be friends with conservatives. They're all dishonest. They're all contemptible. And so progressives have no problem shaming people who are dead of COVID because they conclude that they're a Trump voter. It's really contemptible behavior of people on the left. Man, I realize at this point, I hate everybody. I'm infuriated with everybody. The level of tit for tat, nobody has principles anymore. Everyone just lives in reaction to the other side. And if the other side says you all got to get the vaccine, then my side says, no, the hell we're not. And the other side says, well, you shouldn't be able to go to a restaurant if you haven't got the vaccine. We're like, we're going to storm the restaurants and infect everybody. Can you not just like think for yourself and have some level of principle and value without being caught up in a tribe and in a herd mentality? And when someone echoes the stupid talking point that it's segregation, you don't have to parrot it. In the same way, people on the left should stop parroting the stupid talking point that everything is racist. I saw the ACLU social media account tweeted out that the Second Amendment is a product of racism and was put there to maintain slaves, which is historically not true. Whoever tweeted that is an idiot. There are words I want to say on this program that because we're on terrestrial radio, I cannot. So we will go with idiot. That person is an idiot. It is historically, factually not true. The Second Amendment is derived from the Glorious Revolution and the English Bill of Rights in 1689. The English Bill of Rights in 1689 had a right to keep and bear arms. Why? Because the King of England had decided to confiscate the landed gentry's arms so that they could not do to him what Charles I had happened to him by Oliver Cromwell. So they put it in the English Bill of Rights. It had nothing to do with slavery. And yet the left has taken up this talking point. I'm sure Nicole Hannah-Jones or some other liar out there on the left came up with it. And they all think, sounds compelling. I guess it's true because I read it on the internet from someone I agree with. There isn't a whole lot of difference between the people who believe the Second Amendment is a product of slavery and the people who won't take the vaccine because they believe there's a microchip in it. They're all the same level of stupid. And I am really tired of dealing with the stupid people out there. You know, here's the thing. People on the left have decided to scare the bejesus out of everyone about the vaccine and about the virus. And the result is that everyone's crying wolf at this point. And no one's taking it seriously. And I suspect most of the vaccine hesitancy out there now is not real hesitancy about the safety and efficacy of the vaccine. It's about whether or not it's that bad out there. Case in point, someone is out there, and I will give credit to the idiot who did it. Bob Wachter is the chair of the University of San Francisco Department of Medicine. He tweets this out. Let's look at hospitalizations. On June 1st, we had one COVID patient in our 700-bed UCSF hospital. None were in ICU. Today, we've got 28 hospitalized, 15 on the floor, 13 in ICU, 7 on vents. A staggering increase. For perspective, there are 4.7 million people in the metropolitan San Francisco area, and only 28 of them are in the hospital. Maybe give a little perspective there, Bob, so people get a sense of this, as opposed to freaking out and then going and finding the data for themselves and say, wait a second, you got 4.8 million people and only 28 have COVID? That's not so bad. In fact, for all the scare and nightmare over the Delta variant, it appears there's a downward trend already in parts of the world, including in parts of this country, that had seen COVID explosions of the Delta variant. So when people are blowing up the numbers like that and scaring people over the data, I can understand why people are hesitant to get the vaccine, thinking, well, maybe they've overstated it altogether. Maybe I don't really need the vaccine. Maybe if people were a little more honest and straightforward and truthful and put things in better perspective, there would be less hesitancy. Maybe if conservatives were honest and didn't call things segregation that weren't segregation, we could actually have rational conversations. Maybe if progressives stopped calling everything racist, we could have honest conversations. But, you know, that's probably not going to happen. So instead, we'll be daily reminded of stupid people on the internet believing stupid things that we have to get on here and rebut so that you do not get infected by the stupid gene. The unknown came to the workplace in 2020 and things have changed. Everybody's looking to work out of their house, so they want a great chair. I found a great chair, the X chair. It's at the forefront of home and office settings during this transition. And X chair's newest innovation, the Elimax temperature regulation, will take your sitting comfort to a whole new level. There's a patent pending for the Elimax. It allows you to experience cooling, heating, massage in your lower back while you're working. You're feeling stressed out from the Zoom calls, the Microsoft Teams meetings? Turn on Elimax massage therapy. X chair's patented dynamic variable lumbar DVL support was already the best in class, and now you get Elimax. Imagine regulating your body temperature and getting massage therapy while you're working. It really is a fantastically comfortable, well-designed, well-put-together chair. Go to xchaireric.com right now. That's xchair, E-R-I-C-K.com, or call 1-844-4XCHAIR to save $100 off your order. X-Chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort, and you can finance your purchase for as little as $30 a month. Go to xchaireric.com now or use code XWheels for free X-Wheel blade casters. xchaireric.com. Hello there. It is Eric Erickson here. I feel better now. I don't know about y'all, but I feel better now. Speaking of stupid things, Savannah, Georgia has decided to reinstate the mask mandate. I find it incredibly stupid for cities to be reinstating mask mandates. What's next, lockdowns? Why take away people's incentive to get vaccinated? Yes, it is true. It is true that there are people who get the vaccine and they then get COVID. But let me read you some data from the Texas Tribune. Of the 8,787 people who have died in Texas due to COVID-19 since early February, 43 were fully vaccinated. That means 99.5% of people who died due to COVID-19 in Texas from February 8th to July 14th were unvaccinated, while 0.5% were the result of breakthrough infections, that is where the infection gets a vaccinated person, which the Department of Health in the state defines as people who contracted the virus 2 weeks after being fully vaccinated. The agency said of those 43 people, 75% of them were fighting a serious underlying condition such as diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, cancer, or chronic lung disease. 95% of the 43 vaccinated people were 60 or older. A majority of them were white. A majority of them were men. The Department of State Health noted that these are preliminary numbers, which could change because each case could be confirmed through must be confirmed through public health investigation. Statewide, more than 50,000 people have died of COVID in Texas since March 2020. The rate of death has slowed since vaccines became widely available. No vaccine is 100%, says David Lakey, the chief medical officer at the University of Texas system. As we've known for a long time, the vaccines aren't 100%, but they're really, really good at preventing severe disease and hospitalization. The 0.5% is a very low number of individuals in a state of 30 million. So too is the 8,787 deaths. But when you, like the city of Savannah, decide, hey, we're going to mandate masks again, mandatory masking again, really what you're doing is you're taking away any sort of incentive to go get vaccinated. I just don't think the government and public health officials at this point really have any trust left. I really don't. I think that they have been so filled with hubris, they've lost all their humility. They've never really been able to acknowledge how they got stuff wrong or how they changed their minds or why they changed their minds or when they changed their minds. On and on it goes. I'm deeply skeptical they'll be able to get it right at this point. But I will tell you this. I also think, as much as I think people are really stupid if they're using the segregation talking point for, oh, this store doesn't want me to come in. You know, the store doesn't have police power. You can lie, but that's on you and your conscience. But I also don't think people need to be shamed. Now, the problem is we got a bunch of really sensitive sorts. I don't know when conservatives became snowflakes, but if you point out the facts and the data and suggest people should get vaccinated and stop believing people on the internet who are telling them lies, I can't believe you. How dare you insult me? I studied this. I read Jim Bob's on the internet, Sisters Brothers, Milkman Son's YouTube page, and he's an expert in diarrhea, and he told me the vaccine's a scam. How dare you insult me? No, you're an idiot. If you don't want to get the vaccine, don't get the vaccine. But don't be not getting it because you heard some idiot on the internet who's lying to you but telling you exactly what you want to hear, which is what both sides do these days. It's all confirmation bias. I think I'm the last person on the internet, and we'll see how long I last in syndicated radio telling people what's actually going on as opposed to what they want to hear. You know, the devil gave a lot of facts too. He just didn't give any truth. You got to be mindful of that on the internet these days. All right, we can move on from here because I'm really tired of the subject and the shaming of businesses. We got to move on to the harassing of Tucker Carlson. What? You know, the worst person in the world is not the person on TV you hate. It's the person who thinks that they should go up to that person in a fly fishing store and harass them in front of their family while they're on vacation. Can we not figure this stuff out? The public shaming of celebrities we hate is ridiculous nonsense. It is Eric Erickson, and you can call me if you like. 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I just, one comment here. Tucker Carlson is on vacation, where was this, Montana? And dude goes into the fly fishing store. Tucker is one of the people who for years urged me to take up fly fishing. He's a big fly fisherman. He told me it was relaxing. It's not relaxing. It's fishing. But I really enjoy it. Really enjoy it. And probably he and Dick Cheney are two of the people who told me I should get into fly fishing. And I like it. They actually didn't get me into fly fishing. They told me I should. My buddy David Cannon, who is just brilliant at this sort of stuff and a brilliant photographer, he and his buddy Matt really are the ones who got me into fly fishing, helped me get my gear. Matt's family has a farm that I've been going to and fly fishing. I really like it. And Tucker Carlson should be able to shop in peace in a fly fishing store without some idiot yelling at him. Now, there are people on the left who say, well, he's a terrible human being. He got what he deserved. I have to tell you, I don't think anybody left or right deserves this. As if you have heard me on this program, we've had people show up at our house. We've had people chase my kids through a store, yelling at them that their father was destroying America. I have had an old man follow me into a bathroom in Chick-fil-A to give me a piece of his mind. On multiple occasions, I want to say three times, I actually now always use the stall when I go to the bathroom in the airport, because three separate occasions I have been yelled at while I was peeing in the Two Dead Mares International Airport in Atlanta. Now, I'll have you know that most of the time it's been people on the right who feel like I have betrayed them for some reason or another, typically about Trump, but it hasn't just been them. I've been yelled at in the bathroom by progressives. It's actually tends to be the progressives who yelled at me in the bathroom, and it's the conservatives who showed up at my house and harassed my children. But it happens, and I personally don't think that people deserve to be harassed, regardless of their politics, just because you don't like them. What is stunning to me is to see progressives say, well, no, Tucker, actually, he's an exception to the rule. He deserves it. You know what's going to happen, progressives, is conservatives are going to start doing it to you. And then you're not going to like it. And as always, when you get upset about it, you will always say, well, some people may deserve it, but I don't. Or some people may deserve it, but this person doesn't. Actually, how about none of us deserve to be harassed when we're out shopping, when we're out in a store? You know, I had a neighbor, Keith Olbermann, one time named me the worst person in the world when he was on MSNBC. And I had a neighbor, and he had been a good neighbor. When our first child was born, they brought a baby gift. Their dog got out more than once. I made sure their dog got home. And then Keith Olbermann named me worst person in the world one night on MSNBC. And the man took to heckling me in my front yard. Crazy Pete had lost his job because he apparently pushed for unionization of his workforce, and then they went out of business after the costs went up, and was a very bitter partisan. And Crazy Pete would harass me and my children when we were in the front yard because of his progressive politics. He was a broken individual. And I think it's a sign of a soul brokenness that you would harass someone and gloat about it and be proud of yourself for doing so. And I do think it is an affliction spreading to people on the right, but the usual strain of this is people who don't have Jesus in their life. They have broken their soul, and politics has become their god. And they feel soul fulfilled by being a terrible person to someone they think is terrible. And I think it's unacceptable. And when progressives start having it happen to them, when conservative activists show up at restaurants and chase progressives out, when conservative activists show up at progressives' homes and harass them in the middle of the night, when conservative activists see their restaurateurs telling Democratic politicians, you're not welcome here, and the progressives complain and say, how dare they? Who do they think they are? We'll say they learned from watching you. And the Democrats will still complain, but we will be right. Now, we must move on to the politics of the day. Bernie Sanders' chief of staff is out, or the finance committee's chief of staff for Bernie Sanders is out saying, essentially, the Democrats are going to give people free stuff. We're going to give people affordable lunches, free housing, free college education, free health care, free everything. And conservatives, Republicans really want to run against that. Yes, you're darn right. I want to run against free everything. See, what Democrats don't seem to understand is that people are willing to vote against their economic interests when they believe their culture is at stake. But more importantly, people understand that if the government keeps giving them free stuff, eventually it will be against their own economic interest. Democrats just seem to think, and essentially you got Bernie Sanders, as chief of staff, out there admitting they're trying to bribe voters. But there's a problem for the Democrats. Would you rather, just would you rather, a ridiculous game, but would you rather a free education or the ability to walk down the street without getting murdered? Would you rather free health care or not having your house firebombed by a Black Lives Matter activist? Would you rather student loan forgiveness for people, not you, or fully funded police department, the government giving you free stuff is going to lose because it's the same government that wants to defund the police, fund the wokes, and put boys in your kid's bathroom, in your daughter's bathroom. You know, there's some data out there. Democrats, only a third. Now, this is actually the most fascinating part to me. 35% of Democrats, 35% of Democrats believe that transgender athletes should be able to compete in the Olympics under the gender by which they identify. You got that? 35% of Democrats. So really only a third of Democrats, and roughly a third have no idea what they believe of Democrats. Now, here's the thing. Overwhelmingly, independents and Republicans are opposed to having transgender athletes compete on the team they identify as in the Olympics. In fact, a majority say either they should have to compete. Follow along with me here because the media is kind of tiptoeing around this data. I wonder why. A majority of Americans believe that a transgender athlete in the Olympics should either have to compete on the team for their born sex or not compete at all. A majority of Americans think that men should compete against men, women should compete against women, and transgender athletes should either not compete or compete in their birth sex category. The Democrats and the media, which is basically taking the Democratic line, are downplaying all of this and not talking about this, but it's very, very, very hard when they amplify the New Zealand transgender athlete who's in the weightlifting competition, who probably is going to do very well because he's a man, when they highlight this stuff and they treat this stuff as legit and most Americans disagree with them, it's very hard for them to convince Americans that the left has their best interest in heart. In fact, there's some data out there now that the Democrats are perceived as moving further to the left than where your average American is, while conservatives are perceived as not having moved at all. So your average American at this point is viewing the Democrats as growing ever more progressive, as ever more liberal. And that's going to be a problem for the Democrats because the media tends to be to the left of the mainstream voter, that they tend to be closer to the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes of the world than, let's say, the Tim Ryan, the Democratic congressman from Ohio. That they tend to be further, the media tends to be further to the left of Nancy Pelosi. And so anyone who's to the right of Nancy Pelosi is viewed as a Nazi by the media and characterized as so, when most Americans are thinking, wait a second, this is reasonable and mainstream. So it's very hard here. Take, for example, this story in Politico today. Alina Kaplan is the kind of suburban mom who made Joe Biden president. An immigrant who came to the United States from the Soviet Union. She is a registered Democrat from San Mateo County, California, and she's alarmed over her state's new model ethnic studies curriculum, which cites critical race theory as a key theoretical framework and pedagogy. I firmly believe that if the vast majority of Californians and Americans knew about this and about the content of this type of curriculum, this would not be happening. We would not be having this conversation, Kaplan said. Kaplan has launched an email list, set up meetings with state legislators, and recruited people to meet with their school boards to discuss ethnic studies. Is representative of Democrat-leaning or politically moderate suburbanites, interviewed by Politico in six states, all but one of which were won by Joe Biden. They are up in arms over their school system's new equity initiatives, which they argue are costly and divisive, encouraging students to group themselves by race and take pro-activist stances. Proponents of the initiative say they are a long overdue step toward getting rid of systemic racism in the school system. On the national level, Democrats have insisted that the brush fires over critical race theory, which have become a political punching bag, even for unrelated equity initiatives, are largely the work of right-wing activists. But there's a problem for the Democrats. They are underestimating parents' anger in places where critical race theory is top of mind. Yes, I could have told you that. The media feedback loop for the Democrats is probably what costs the Democrats more opportunities to win than anything else. The media tells the Democrats, oh, this is just Republican activists. Leave it alone. The Democrats echo what they heard in the media. Meanwhile, parents are mad as all get out over this stuff, and the Democrats seem incapable and unwilling of figuring out what to do about it. They don't think it's an issue. And yet, progressive parents, or moderate parents, I should say, moderate Democratic parents in swing states are livid that their kids are going to schools and being told either that they are a victim permanently or they are an oppressor permanently. And they're having none of it. Take, for example, in Georgia, you've got Forsyth County, Georgia, is up in arms because the school board has decided to push forward with their critical race theory. They're saying they're not pushing forward critical race theory, but they are. They've just changed the name to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Same in Gwinnett County, Georgia. Cherokee County, Georgia ditched it, and the person they hired has now moved into Cobb County, Georgia, one county south, to work for the school board there, doing probably the same thing. And it's happening all over the country. School boards filled with progressives think they know best. Down in South Florida, in Palm Beach, the school board, after having Democratic parents overwhelm the school system and denounce teaching critical race theory, the school board walked away from it. You know what the local Democratic Party did? Denounced and censured the Democratic school board members, claiming they were bowing to a Republican fear campaign. No, they were actually bowing to the parents who actually showed up and were actually hacked off. That the Democrats think this is a Republican campaign is just going to help the Republicans moving forward. What's going to help you is the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. If you're struggling to breathe at night, you got allergies, your house smells bad. Well, if you go to EdenPureDeals.com, you can get the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Now, I'm looking. You got two deals on the page. Here's what you do. You go to EdenPureDeals.com, and then you'll see my name on the front page, Eric Erickson. You click it, and you see the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, a three-pack, or you see the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, save $10 off the lowest sale price. You pick either one of these things. I'm going to do, let's say, the three-pack. So here's what I do. I do the three-pack, and then I see it's $387. What? Well, watch. You add it to your cart, And then you view your cart. And then you click the orange checkout button. And when you click the orange checkout button, watch what happens. On the checkout page, there's a discount box. And you put the discount code ERIC3 into the discount code, ERIC3. And you apply it, and presto! It takes off $200. That's fantastic. You save $200. You get 3 Eden Pure Thunderstorms. You save $200. It cleans the air in your house. It gets rid of odors. Gets rid of pet odor, tobacco odor, cooking odors. It gets rid of black mold. And you can fit it in the palm of your hand. It's a small device that packs a wallop. You go to EdenPureDeals.com today. You put ERIC3 as your discount code, and you can get the 3-pack with $200 off. It's an excellent deal for an excellent product. Clean the air in your house with Eden Pure. Hi there. It is Eric Erickson here. Delighted to have you with me. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Let's go to Rooster, who's been waiting patiently on the phone. Rooster, welcome.
Hey, Eric, you were cracking me up while during the break. I'm having fun with that. But anyway, I was going to call and say I really enjoyed your article this morning. I got your article on my email. I was going to leave a comment, but I can't afford to have the premium access or whatever. So I was just going to say your article was dead on. Loved it. I can't push on anybody more. I mean, it was awesome. But I was going to speak to the fact that, you know, we've got all these idiots, for lack of better term, that are just crawling all over our world that are, like you said, clan-based. It's my clan versus your clan. I don't care what you have to say. I'm against whatever you should say. And I think that we start training our kids for this by putting them in the internet in front of them at like 4 or 5 years old, and they get exactly what they want, when they want it, how they want it, and we wipe their butts and their noses for their whole upbringing, letting them go, oh, that's sweet, honey, and telling them that, you know, okay, the sky isn't blue, that's sweet, honey, and they're reading on the internet or watching YouTube or TikTok or wherever the crap it is. And then they go off to college, and I have to go around and educate them and try to educate them on why spaghetti is not recyclable and why wood 2x4s is not a recyclable substance. So, yeah, that's my comment there.
Listen, yeah, you're right, and I do think that the internet has something to do with this, where we engage the internet so often. We essentially are letting the internet raise our kids these days. And let's be honest, I'm a little guilty of it myself. I judge not lest I be judged on this issue. But it's having a detrimental effect on our ability to relate off the internet. This is one reason I'm such a big proponent. You know why I give the recipes? And by the way, I realized I forgot to send out one last week. Oh, do I have a recipe to send y'all this week? It is a ham sandwich. Yes, you think that. But it's the most extraordinary sandwich you will ever eat. Oh, wow, is it good? On Wednesday on the recipe list. But the reason I do that is because we've got to get people offline and back around the table breaking bread together, regardless of your politics. You've got to, and you know, conservatives still manage to have more friends who are progressive than progressives have conservative friends. But we've got to relate to people offline, not staring at our phones. And it's becoming harder and harder for people to do. So my contribution is to send you easy to make recipes so you can do it